We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
John Heyman joining us at some point? Is he in now?
Right now.
Oh, John Heyman's now, so I can't. So I can't do this now because John is now is gumming up the works a little. But let me just say this. John Heyman, brought to you by Sport Clips. Sport Clips, cut the weight, download the new Sport Clips haircuts app, and check in by Brothers Supply, New York's number one source for ICF P-TACs, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils, and by Greenwich Hospital, the great John Heyman. Now, John, you have to hold on with us 1 second here because I got these gifts from Pete Hoffman. Remember the Pete Hoffman?
The Mike and Yonkers gave to Pete Hoffman.
It's actually not bad. You know what it is?
And
John will appreciate this because being a big Met fan that he is. The 1969, this was too big for me, but it's a 1969 Met World Championship
shirt. Oh, nice.
Which is actually pretty cool. Yeah. He's got one for Ernie. I know Ernie will cherish it. But let me.
One for Ernie.
Yeah, he does. He said the extra large is for Ernie. But this is for Jet.
For Jet?
I think this actually could fit me. But let me. It is for Jet, bro.
Oh, so 1969 championship shirt for my 3-year-old.
So we all got one. Ernie's very happy about it. He loved that 69 Met team. Hi, John.
I got some ideas of what I'm going to do with it. Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Next thing he's going to do is he's sending me a 1978 Yankee championship shirt.
Right.
But nevertheless, John, how are you, John?
I'm good. Well, congratulations on your fine gift.
Yes, thank you, John.
I didn't get you anything.
Well, you know, next time, John.
Listen, yeah. We forgive you.
We understand.
Let me know when your birthday is. We'll go there.
I got a long way. I try to forget my birthdays anymore, John. You know what I mean? When you get into these numbers that I'm at, you know what I'm saying?
I'm there, too. I'm with you.
And, John, we really appreciate you joining us because this is a very busy arbitration time in baseball right now. Everybody who has no power to leave as a free agent but has the power to go to arbitration usually gets their money. Mookie Betts got $27 million. There was a settling.
Oh, is that right? In arbitration?
Well, settling before arbitration is the best way to phrase it. They didn't go to arbitration. Noah Syndergaard settled.
$9 million.
Chris Bryant settled. Any surprises so far during this whole thing?
It's good to see that Bryant and Lindor and Betts settled. I no problem joining you guys. I still haven't gotten the Luis Cessa figure, which I'm waiting on, and so I think it's okay that I'm joining you guys. I think we're okay there. But there's still a lot of guys to go, but this is a very soft 1 p.m. deadline, apparently, because they're still coming in.
Let me ask you, because I'm very confused about something. This offseason moved at a really good pace, right? Steven Strasburg signs, Gerrit Cole signs with the New York Yankees, the Mets made their moves. And it feels like over the last couple of weeks, everything has just stopped. And there's still some decent names out there. Marcelo Ozuna is still a free agent. Josh Donaldson is still a free agent. Obviously, you got these trade rumors, Nolan Arenado, Mookie Betts. Who knows if those guys are going to be traded? But it feels as if the offseason has now stopped. And, you know, we're a little over a month away, probably right around a month before pitchers and catchers report. When are things going to start to pick up again?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right about that. Two things that have gone here. Josh Donaldson, is making up his mind. That's one thing. Apparently, he had three offers said to be in the $100 million range, the Nats, the Twins, and the Braves. If he actually had three $100 million offers 2 or 3 weeks ago, whenever that was reported, he should have made a deal by now. I'm not sure what $100 million range means, but he's in fantastic position. I don't know if he wants to just make his position better, but it doesn't appear that Bryant or Arenado will really hit the trade block in earnest quickly. So he feels he can wait, and he certainly does have those three teams, so he can wait. And the other thing is the outfield market, which includes Castellanos and Ozuna, is still pretty much filled with pretty good players. Obviously, those two, but you've got some good players beyond that. Puig and Pilar. Pence actually had a good year last year, and there's a couple others. That Gordon. So there are a lot of outfielders, and I think the supply and demand may be hurting those players. Castellanos, very young, had a big year with the Cubs last year. I think he'll do fine. Ozuna, I'm not sure he's going to get what he wanted to get. He's a pretty good player, too. But, you know, sometimes there's one or two that are disappointed. He may be one of those.
Castellanos is the guy who should be getting paid. I mean, he gets traded to the Chicago Cubs and then just tears the cover off the ball while the rest of his team was choking.
Yeah, right. You're right. Everybody
is that a fair description?
You're absolutely right.
Yes.
He's, I think, only 27 or 28, which should play big in free agency. Not a great defender, but very clutch hitter. And he should do well. I mean, I know Texas is in on him, as they're in on our friend, the Todd father, Todd Frazier. Texas still seems to be working. They still have money, so I think they're still going to do a few things. I think he'll do okay, Castellanos. He's not going to get the Ellsbury, dare I say it, or Shinshu-Chu money, but he'll get good money.
Mm. What's your take on this thing? Apparently now that we're hearing that the Red Sox were cheating a couple years ago, the latest championship team.
Yeah, I mean, people are saying it's not as bad cheating as the Houston cheating.
It's not. It's not nearly as bad.
They were caught in 2017 with the Apple Watch, and they guaranteed to Commissioner Manfred they wouldn't be caught up in anything again. And I don't care if it's not as bad as Houston. He should come down on them pretty hard, too. I know a lot of people are saying that there are many teams that use that replay room not the way they should, but I don't think that's a defense, particularly for the Red Sox, who needed to be on their best behavior. And allegedly we're not.
It's not a defense, but, okay, here's my yeah, but. I believe, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, but so far I think I'm right, that the Astros went above and beyond. I mean, we now have seen over the last few months that they're banging drums to let you know an off-speed pitch is coming. I'm sorry. That is far different than the Red Sox sneaking into a video room and seeing, well, let's try to steal signs. Basically, you're trying to steal signs. You're not getting the instant gratification that the Astros were doing. I just think what the Astros were doing are on a level that's very high. I'm pointing high. And what the Red Sox and probably most other teams in baseball doing are somewhere in the kind of the middle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one is worse cheating. I will agree with you on
by
that.
A lot.
Alleged. Yes, but alleged. I will say this. The Red Sox, having been warned in only after 2017, you got to be on your best behavior once you're warned. But I would agree with you. Not as
don't bad. You think it makes things easier to just get rid of the replay room and therefore get rid of replay? I mean, instead of having, you know, coaches take a look quickly so they can call the manager and challenge, just get rid of it. We've seen it for a few years now.
And do what with it? And have some judgment of the guys in the dugout?
I think you take the challenge away from the manager. If there's an egregious call, you can have an umpire up in New York buzz down and say, we're going to take a look and we're going
to
fix it.
Well, that's something to think about.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know. Yeah, I mean, it's seems like if there's an opportunity to cheat that there will be people who do it, unfortunately. I don't think everybody does it. But,
what is baseball going to do with the Astros? Let's start with them. Like, are they going to do anything?
It appears they're going to get a pretty harsh penalty. You know, I don't want to exactly guess, but I think when he warned last time after the Boston ruling, there was a suggestion that there could be loss of draft choices and suspensions. So I think that those will be the penalties if they are indeed found guilty. We wanted to say allegedly at this point. But
it's,
it looks
you know, I got to tell you something. I think with the Astros, you could almost take away alleged. I mean, we've seen how many videos do we need to see?
Take away what?
Alleged.
The word alleged. How many
in other
videos?
Words, that it happened.
Oh, okay. Well,
John,
you know, I like to be careful.
They're guilty.
Well,
the guilty.
Good to
how
be
many
careful.
Videos do you need to see of them? Clearly, there's a sound. What do you think? It's a coincidence?
Well, you know, maybe they're musically inclined. I don't know.
Okay.
Musically inclined.
Are they going to suspend guys who are no longer with the organization?
You could. You certainly.
Cora,
I don't think the
Beltran?
Players.
Yeah,
you know,
hopefully
I think
not Beltran.
Been told that you know, if you see some, they've interviewed players, and if you saw something and you didn't report it, they're not going to get you for not being a whistleblower, shall we say? Mm. So I don't think it's not going to be too much in terms of the players. It's going to be the decision makers that really are at issue here, I think.
So
the manager, the general manager,
okay.
Maybe some coaches. You know, I think potentially, I don't know, we'll see about what happens with Beltran. He has said he didn't do it, so we will see. But he was a player at that time.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but I think most players are going to be okay.
Now, you know, we have, we here, and of course we're talking to the great John Heyman, we have done our Hall of Fame ballots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, I know obviously you have your Hall of Fame votes coming up, right? Am I correct?
I did vote, yes.
It you
was,
did vote.
December 31st was the deadline, and
okay.
I did get mine in on time.
Do you want to give us any, you want to throw some names at us?
This is who I voted for. I voted for Derek Jeter.
Shocking.
Okay, well, I voted for Barry Bonds.
You did.
I did vote for Barry Bonds.
Wow! How about that?
The last few years.
Okay. All right. Well, that's I'm good. That's good to see.
The controversy is I do not vote for Clemens. I'll explain it later.
Yeah. That's you got to explain that to me. But nevertheless, you voted for Schilling. Go ahead. Yeah. Right.
Andrew Jones.
So I voted for
five. You know, I had voted for 10 several years in a row. The ballot's not quite as stacked as it'd been. There were about five or six other guys that I seriously considered and didn't put them in. The Bonds is the curious one. I understand that. I generally do not vote for steroid guys. Mm-hmm. I do consider everybody. So I've considered the story of his career, which I do believe, and we don't know for sure, I do believe that he was steroid-free until after Sosa and McGuire passed him, and then he started taking steroids. Mm-hmm. And I think he had a Hall of Fame career before that. The other guys, I don't really know.
Why Clemens? I mean, I don't get – I mean, to me, Clemens is a no-brainer. If you're going to vote
steroids.
For Bonds –
It seems to be pretty clear that he was doing it in the late 90s and when he was in Toronto.
Wasn't his Red Sox career Hall of Fame period?
Yeah, I'm not sure that it was. It's not as clear cut as Bonds' case. I'm not sure that's the narrative either, but he went to Toronto. When he went to Toronto, it was in the 90s, and he was pretty clear that he was doing steroids at that point in Toronto.
Hmm.
You know, that's documented beyond the fact that we all know he was like 11-11 last year in Boston, and then all of a sudden he was a Cy Young.
Let me just clarify and let Joe decide, because I think this is fair. This is Roger Clemens as a Red Sox. So pre-steroids, pre-Blue Jay.
Yep.
He won himself three Cy Youngs, an MVP finish. He had a second-place Cy Young voting and a third-place Cy Young voting. So that sounds like about five Hall of Fame seasons, but here are his numbers. 192 and 111 with a 3.06 ERA, 100 complete games. So it's very good, I think.
Did he also set the strikeout record with the Red Sox, a 20 strikeouts?
The single-game strikeout
yes.
record? That is correct. He has that on his resume. He led the league in ERA four times. It's very good.
I mean, that's not a Hall of Fame?
It's very good. His resume
pretty
is
Hall of Famey to me, isn't it?
It's very Hall of Famey. Yes.
Could be.
It either is or it isn't. What do you think?
Well, does this come down to
know,
the usual? That, and look,
did
we,
he have 10 years? I don't know. I think he did have
13 years with the Red Sox.
How many?
13.
Okay. You know, we had 192 wins. I just don't really know what to believe with him, to be honest. I mean, the guy was, I understand, found innocent of perjury.
But no, but John, let's take, because I think I do something very similar to you. See, Joe goes all the way with the steroid guys.
I like him. I'm even voting for Sosa now. I don't have, not that I have a vote, but I would vote for Sosa.
You know what I don't get? Why Sheffield is getting so many more votes than Sosa. Why is Sheffield a Hall of Famer, not Sosa? They're both steroid. If you vote for the steroid guys, I see that as fine.
Well, Gary Sheffield was on our show about a year ago. He said he never did steroids.
Right.
No,
that's what he said.
That's what he said.
They all say that.
Barry Bonds admitted.
Right. Bonds
he
admitted.
He used something. He just didn't know what he was using.
He used the clear, the cream,
the clear.
Well,
whatever it was.
Stories. But I do believe the story that he didn't do the steroids until he saw the other guys pass him. And by that point, he's clearly a Hall of Famer.
Do you agree?
Clemens, certainly a case could be made that he's a Hall of Famer in Boston.
Okay, well, I couch the steroid guys by saying, if I don't know about their whole career, I'm not going to vote for them. But with Bonds and Clemens, I believe they are both Hall of Famers prior to the steroids.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, with the numbers I just gave you in Boston, and three Cy Youngs and an MVP, that Roger Clemens is a Hall of Famer simply because of the 13 years in Boston.
And can we
you
say
can
this, too?
Yeah,
can we also say, and we can't stand the guy.
I got
to tell
them.
You, I there's very few sports figures that I dislike more than this guy. But the bottom line is, there's no question he's one of the great pitchers of all time. I mean, how do we dispute this?
Sammy Sosa is a Hall of Famer.
Well, I voted for him now. But right. Sammy Sosa's not on the level of Roger Clemens.
Clemens?
Right.
He's not Roger Clemens. Come on.
Okay. Well, I'm not differentiating for Bonds because he's an all-time great, although he is.
Well, he is.
I am because I believe the narrative, and he's an all-time great. I don't know what to believe with Clemens. I think he perjured himself even though he was found innocent. I don't think that was the correct ruling. And I just don't know what to believe with the guy. But I understand your case that he was a Hall of Famer in Boston. That's fair to say that.
I have a different question for you that I think Joe is going to be – I don't know what you're going to think about this. I'm just going to tell you. I agree about Andrew Jones. I believe watching Andrew Jones, he was one of the greatest defensive center fielders I've ever seen. He had very good offensive numbers. But to me, I felt like I was watching greatness defensively with Andrew Jones. I think of him as a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Okay? Here's where I run into a problem. I don't think of Jim Edmonds as a Hall of Famer. Okay?
No, not at all.
Here's the problem. Jim Edmonds was brilliant defensively. And his offensive numbers are right there with Andrew Jones. And yet my brain tells me while watching Andrew Jones, yes, Jim Edmonds, no.
Can I say one thing about Andrew Jones here?
Go ahead.
Andrew Jones had a year where he had 50 home runs. Am I correct? Did he not hit 50
home
runs?
That is correct,
yes. Okay, so how do we just dispel that this guy might have been doing steroids?
We don't know, but there's no evidence to say he did.
Right, no,
yeah, we have no evidence that he did. But you could say it about any player in that era. I'm, you know.
Well, of course.
But there's no, like with guys like
Andrew Jones, to me, I put ahead of Jim Edmonds. He's a better hitter.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
but
it is the Hall of Fame. I mean, we are talking about fame. Who was seen as a Hall of Famer while they were playing?
Look, I wouldn't vote for Andrew Jones. I did not vote for Andrew Jones.
Why?
I just thought, because off the top of my head, I don't think of him as a Hall of Famer.
Do you value center field defense or just shortstop defense?
I do, but I just don't, off the top of my head, I just don't think he
did. Did you vote for Vizquel?
Yeah, I did. Vizquel, yeah.
So you voted for Vizquel, but not Andrew Jones?
Yes, I did.
Why? Because shortstop matters
more. Yeah, more defense matters more to me.
At shortstop?
There. Yes.
Not in center field?
Well, it does, but not as much.
Okay.
That's me.
I mean, look, I
didn't vote for Vizquel. I thought I wanted to. I felt like he was.
He's just a notch below Ozzy to me.
His offense was too negative for me.
Well, Ozzy's offense was never great.
Right. Ozzy's offense was only slightly better, but again, it is the Hall of Fame.
But do you guys really
think... Look, I'm not knocking Andrew Jones that you're voting for him. I didn't.
But to me, it's not even about Andrew Jones. I'll ask this question. You've watched baseball for a million years.
Right.
Do you really think defense at shortstop is that much more important than defense in center field?
I absolutely do. I think I do, yeah. And I think you got to hit... See, here's the thing. I think you can get away at shortstop with just being a defensive, you know... More defense than offense.
I think
you got to give me some offense in center field.
I agree.
And I'm not saying Andrew Jones didn't. I mean, obviously he did. The guy hit 400 and almost 500 home runs, right?
Yeah, no, he did.
460 home runs.
I just think defense should matter everywhere. And I get that shortstop's incredibly important. Catcher's incredibly important.
Right.
But I throw center field in there,
too. That's fair.
Even first base to a degree. And that opens up a whole nother argument.
You know, I think part of it, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, center fielders, you know, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, these guys, yeah, they were great defensively, but they were, you know, big-time power hitters, these guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess I kind of look at it a little bit. And
well,
you know what? But
category.
Jones did hit. So Jones
hit.
Was a power. He did hit almost,
and,
you know, 500 home runs.
Here's the other factor.
I mean, he did do that.
I got to throw this factor out there. It's annoying, but it's just true. We live in a world in which guys are trying to do what more? Hit balls in the air. There are more fly balls than ever before.
No, that's true.
So the value of center field should matter.
Andrew Jones is definitely better than Jim Edmonds, though. I mean, Jim Edmonds to me is not a Hall of Famer.
I agree with
Andrew
you.
Andrew Jones, you certainly can make a
case.
But
if I gave you the numbers, you'd say, wow. You'd be
surprised.
How
many home runs did he hit, Edmonds?
Jim Edmonds at 393 home runs.
Did he hit that many?
Yeah.
He had a good career.
He was good.
And we knocked him off the ballot.
Right.
But what do you do? How, you know, I don't
maybe it's because I don't love him on like the Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever.
Me
it is.
Neither.
He doesn't come across as like the nicest guy.
He's
know
not
what I mean?
A nice guy, but who cares? Right.
No, I know.
You're becoming a writer,
well, I mean,
Joe.
We know some writers that care about guys being nice guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would know any of those guys, John, but there's a couple.
Yeah, we had a dispute on MLB Network about this. My belief is that we don't take who we like and don't like into consideration. I'm voting for Bonds and I'm voting for Schilling.
I understand.
You know, and I
well, Schilling should
if
be.
If I voted for who I liked and this guy has a Hall of Fame case, it would be Andy Pettit. I love the guy. The guy was.
I was considering Andy Pettit. I was considering him. Not this is just our little thing that we do. I mean, obviously, I don't have
Andy Pettit's a
Hall of Fame ballot.
I mean,
I didn't vote for him.
But by the way, just real quick about this, because I don't I agree with you. My brain tells me Andrew Jones is here, Jim Edmonds is there. I mean, Andrew Jones higher than Jim Edmonds. Jim Edmonds has a career batting average of .284. Andrew Jones's career batting average was .254.
Yeah.
Jim Edmonds had a career OPS over .900. Andrew Jones was .823.
Mm.
Jim Edmonds had 100 RBIs 4 times. I think Andrew Jones did it 5 times.
Okay.
Like, the numbers are very
similar.
They're closer than you think. And Edmonds was great defensively, but yet watching them both, I thought Andrew Jones was a Hall of Famer. I'm just saying that numbers can kind of...
No, I understand.
They aren't everything that you think sometimes.
No, I would agree with that.
I think the fame thing comes into play there, too. Andrew Jones was on a team that won 14 straight titles. St. Louis certainly was a winning team, and that certainly helps Edmonds' case. But like I said, I don't think we should knock these guys off the ballot. He shouldn't have been knocked off. Keith Hernandez shouldn't have been knocked off. Bobby Grich. There's a lot of really good players who we should consider every year. I don't know why we do that.
Right, Albert Bell.
I don't
Bell.
Know if we have a limit of 10 either if we're not doing it. We should. It shouldn't be no. It should be no limit, and nobody should be knocked off because we knocked off some pretty good players.
No, we could knock off Sean Figgins.
Yeah, I mean, he could. Okay. Yeah, I think Sean Figgins is not a.
Yeah, and Heath Bell. He's going to be gone.
Yeah, Heath Bell didn't make that.
We can knock off Adam.
You know what? I saw that online. I've seen that Konerko is getting a vote, and so is Giambi. So
Jason Giambi.
Yeah, I know. Konerko had a very good career. I just
he's not a
Hall of Fame, and neither is Giambi, for that matter.
No, yeah. I don't see it. They're both. I agree with you guys. Great, very good career.
Yes.
but not a Hall of Fame. I think there were 16 guys. So to me, any ballot that includes. First of all, it has to include Jeter.
Jeter's in. We know Jeter's a lock.
Right. So you have to include Jeter. And then any number of the other 15 guys, I think they're all debatable. And Bonds and Clemens.
Jeff Kent.
And Jeff Kent is debatable. I didn't happen to vote for him. I didn't vote for Helton. I didn't vote for Wagner. I didn't vote for Walker, which is going to be interesting because they're predicting. The last prediction is that he's going to get 74.8%
of the vote. I don't see it with Larry Walker.
What is he going to get, Larry Walker?
74.8.
Isn't that just miss?
Yeah.
Yes.
75.
Yes.
74%.
The guy is an incredible talent. There's no question
you know the outcome already?
There's a guy on projection. There's a guy on Twitter who does this,
and he's at like 85 or 88% right now among the people who have told
Larry Walker
who've announced. What he does is
guys who release their ballots publicly, he tallies. So he's got a running tally and then projecting based on the guys who still haven't voted where he thinks guys are going to finish. So it's almost like a spoiler. Ernie doesn't like it because Ernie doesn't want to be spoiled. He wants just the announcement. This guy's in, this guy's not in. And we're going to find out soon.
Walker's a coin flip, so we're going to find out. And I think as of now, where Bonds and Clemens were around at 75, now they're projected to go much lower. Chilling, too.
Larry Walker, it's not fair, but it's just the reality. I can't get past Coors Field. I can't get past the production that he had in that ballpark.
I couldn't put Larry Walker.
Yeah, look, we're 0-for-3 here on Larry Walker, and he's going to be right at 75%.
What'd you say about Schilling? Schilling's just going to miss again? Is that what you're saying?
I think right now on the people who've revealed, I think he's pretty close, but I think they expect that the older voters will vote less frequently for him, I think. I'm not sure where he is.
I'll tell you why. I have a theory on Schilling. It has nothing to do with his politics. I think that Curt Schilling is a guy who becomes a Hall of Famer because of his postseason. Like, his resume minus the postseason is close.
You don't think the politics hurts him, though?
Maybe with a few people, but not the older voters he's referring to. I think that what hurts a lot of older voters, just my theory on this, is they don't put as much stock in the playoffs as a lot of us do. I think that's a kind of a newer phenomenon where we talk about the playoffs, we talk about championships, how much it matters. Curt Schilling's postseason numbers are historic. He is 11-2 with a 2.23 ERA in the postseason. In the World Series, he's 4-1 with a 2.06. He's a legend in the playoffs, and to me, that's why he's a Hall of Famer.
It's not just the numbers. It's all the stories behind
of course.
It. The bloody sock, how important he was to the Arizona team. He and Johnson basically carried him and 3 championships. He was also really good in Philly in the postseason.
Exactly.
I don't like to talk so nicely about the guy, but I do think your theory is correct. There are some people, and probably the older guys, who don't weigh as heavily the postseason.
And that's where Bumgarner someday is going to be fascinating, because as a regular season pitcher, Madison Bumgarner is not a Hall of Famer. He just isn't. But when you factor in that he's a freaking living legend in October, puts him over the top. Because I've always voted for Schilling. I'm a Schilling guy as far as him being a Hall of Famer is concerned. If you took away the postseason, I'm on the fence. That's how great he was in the playoffs. He puts me over the fence.
I voted for him. I voted for him fairly consistently. He's clearly a Hall of Famer based on that postseason. It will be something if Bumgarner gets in and he doesn't. We'll see what Bumgarner does for the rest of his career. He just signed a 5-year deal. But Bumgarner, to me, is in that same boat.
Exactly.
Be a Hall of, both Schilling's, of them are Hall of Famers. Bumgarner.
Schilling's better than Bumgarner in the regular season.
He's even better in the postseason. To me, he's the greatest. Other than, I didn't see Sandy Koufax. I know you did, Joe. Sorry about that. But to me, Bumgarner's the greatest postseason pitcher I've ever seen. He won that championship. He took him on the back in 2014. Now, Schilling was pretty heroic, too, but not quite to that.
But I think Schilling was the better regular season pitcher than Bumgarner. Schilling finished second in the Cy Young voting like three times. Bumgarner's closest finish was fourth. So I think that's the
difference. Bumgarner's been more consistent as a regular season pitcher. But I think you're right. I think Schilling has had more great seasons.
I think that, Joe, I really believe that's a big part of it. It's going to be part of the new era. How much do we judge the playoffs?
Well, the playoffs are different now because of the fact that you have so many rounds of playoffs.
Yes.
That changes it.
Yeah,
it does. That's a big difference. I mean, nobody looked at Ted Williams and said, "Okay,
he
wasn't so great."
No,
you know, because he didn't get many chances. Now unless you're with some terrible team, you're in the postseason a lot and many rounds, and you have a greater chance to affect things. And certainly, Bumgarner did, and so did Schilling.
Which game would you like to pick this weekend?
Yeah, we got.
Oh, I got one game to pick.
Well, you want to pick them all?
No. I mean, I saw there were calls on. I mean, I don't want to say anything. There were calls online for me to pick them all. But
is that true? Oh, well, then you got to pick them all. Well, then we don't want to disappoint the John Heyman fan base. So we will have you pick them all. So we'll give you the numbers. We'll give you the spreads, and you can.
I don't know the spreads, but
here we go.
I don't like to brag about my football picks, but my two Super Bowl picks, both still alive. Just so I point that out.
Who are your Super Bowl
And who
Bowl
are they again? The Ravens and who?
The Packers.
Ravens and the Packers.
All right,
okay.
Good for
all right,
you.
So here we go. So
of course, neither has played.
Right. Well, that's true.
Fair.
And there's a reason for that because they got first round buys. Now, the Vikings getting 7 in San Francisco, actually Santa Clara, against the Niners. Your pick is?
Minnesota.
Getting 7. Okay. Mm-hmm. The Titans getting 9 in Baltimore.
I'm going to go Baltimore.
Okay.
That's your Super Bowl team.
The Chiefs laying 9.5 to the Texans in Kansas City.
I'm going to say the Chiefs really wake up this time, and I'm going to go KC.
And your Packers laying 4 at home against the Seahawks.
Yeah, Seattle's tough. I think Green Bay's just going to eat that one out. I'm going to go with Seattle.
Oh, you're going to take Seattle in the points is what you're doing. But
taking
you think the
points.
Packers will win the game. So you like the Niners. I got it here, right?
No, the Vikings.
Oh, that's right. Vikings plus the points, the Ravens and the Texans laying the points, and the Seahawks getting the 4. That's correct, right?
No, I'm going Kansas City.
Didn't I say? Oh, Chiefs. I'm sorry. I said Texans. Yes.
Well, I think that one of those teams moved from Tech. Right?
No. Yes, the Chiefs.
Right. The Kansas City Chiefs for the Dallas Texans.
That's right.
The Chiefs are
playing their namesake.
Yeah, wow. That confuses Joe and myself.
No, I'm not confused by it at all.
They're only there for a couple of years.
Believe me, I'm not.
Anyway, my pick is Minnesota, Baltimore, Kansas City, Seattle. Just have that on tape.
There you go. We're good now.
Thank you, John.
All right, guys.
John, all the love, John.
Same here, guys.
John Heyman on the cheating, the Hall of Fame, and his football picks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.